So I'm recording this from the hot front seat of my car before I head in to do my sprints. It is Super Saturday sprint sesh today. And I've been thinking about something for a week or so. And this something came from a question. So a woman reached out to me a couple of weeks ago with a really cool question. And the question was, how much of your body aesthetic is your body type versus the training moves that you do? She said, I've always admired your graceful yet strong physique. And many of the women I see in the gym don't have that. There's only one girl in particular who does, and she's like 20. What exercises can help with that, and what role does body fat have? Most of the women I see are too lean for what I want. I also know that this woman is, she's working on changing her body composition. And there's been times where she also doesn't have that. She feels like she doesn't have the body that she wants. And she's training pretty consistently, but her body is taking a while to respond. And she's also experienced times where her body hasn't responded the way that she wants to. And this, you know, I think this can resonate with a lot of women. So a lot of women actually put in the work. They are consistent. They go to the gym, just like, let's call her Emma, because I'm not sure she'll want me to use her real name. So they are consistent like Emma. They show up, they've trained, maybe they've trained for a really long time, but a lot of them are really stuck wondering why they don't see the body that they want, why their body isn't responding to how they want it to. So I think this question hits home for a lot of women, women who, like Emma, put in the work at the gym, but are dissatisfied with their physical appearance. So, how much of a woman's physique is her body type versus the training moves that she does? And can we build the body that we want through training a particular way? So, I think first, let's consider the women we admire. So, the Kitty Blomfields, the Libby Westcombs, the Hattie Boyles, you can, you know, as Emma said, myself, think. I also want you to think of female athletes that are really good at their sports, or maybe female athletes where you admire their physique. And then reflect on other icons, so other women that you really admire, so the Beyoncés, the J-Los. Now let's think about what unites them. What do they all have in common? They all move well. They are all really committed to the process, to the practice, and to mastering their craft. So let's take Kitty, Libby, and Hattie. They didn't create or sculpt their bodies, their physiques, overnight. If you have followed them and listened to them tell their stories, you know that they attribute their strength and their bodies to years of disciplined training. I think it's about 10 years. I heard Libby speak the other day, and she was talking a little bit about her story and her CrossFit days. So she was reflecting on her journey, and she said that she put on most of her muscle mass during her CrossFit days because CrossFit focuses on really heavy lifting and those big compound movements. And speaking to Kitty, I know that she created her body, her physique, when Craig taught her how to lift properly. And I know Hattie has had quite the transformation coming from, I believe she experienced anorexia nervosa for a really long time. And her training age is, I believe it's over 10 years. It might be around, similar to mine, around 12 or 13. So, at least 10 years for each of them, but it doesn't take that long to build the body. So, I found I put on most of my muscle mass when I was Olympic lifting. So, this is between 2013 and 2016. That's when I put on most of my muscle. That's when my body composition really changed. And that's also when I learned to appreciate all of these other things that I talk about when it comes to training. So the elegance of movement, that's when I learned how to build a proper foundation. But really, that's when I trained a lot. And my training, Olympic weightlifting, is focused on heavy lifting and those big compound movements. So if you look at the training Kitty does, the training Libby does, the training Hattie does, and the training that I do, and then look at all the women that you admire, they're going to be training in a particular way. So if I look back in the history of women that I admire, now this can be females, like female athletes, it could be other women that have traits that I admire, but in particular, let's focus on body composition. Behind their beauty and grace and strength, and behind their body, so the way that their body looks, is good movement. It's moving well and lifting heavy weights for a long period of time. Watch the women you admire train. Watch them train, watch them move, or watch them perform. And what do you see? My guess is that you see technique, you see control, you see strength, power, you probably see beauty. It probably looks very good. They probably make it look like an art, almost effortless and easy. Yeah? Now, I just want you for a second to think about how you train, how you've trained in the past, maybe how you're training now. Or as Emma did, she was looking around the gym and she was watching other women train. Now, not judgmentally, just trying to sit from, I did a podcast with Ruby the other day and she was speaking about this idea of second position. So that's just sitting, zooming out and sitting in second chair or second position and just observing what's going on. And I know it's hard not to be judgmental for the mind to not compare or judge, but try and sit in this idea of second position and just look around. When I do this, most of the women that I see training in the gym that I go to are stressed. They're forcing the movement, they're rushing, they're going fast, they don't have great technique, they're not moving well. The whole thing actually looks ugly. They are training ugly. Now, I don't mean that they are ugly. That's not what I'm saying. The training, the movement is ugly. And when we train ugly, we don't build beautiful bodies. This is where I believe when we make the movement beautiful. So if we look at all of the women that we admire, they are making their training beautiful. You will notice that they're lifting heavy, yes. So, you know, Kitty can squat, I don't know what it is, 120, 130, 140 kilos or something. She can deadlift or RDL 160 or 170. I know Libby can squat, you know, pretty comfortably 90. She can probably get to, I think she squatted 100 kilos before. Hattie Boydell, she is a bodybuilder, but she does a lot of strength training with the Australian Strength Coach. And so she can actually squat and deadlift a lot of weight. Myself, I can squat, I can deadlift a lot of weight. So that's one thing we have in common. The next thing is our technique. So watch Kitty, Libby, and Hattie lift weights. They are very technical. They do it with control. They do full range of motion. And so that would be the second thing. So the two main things are they lift heavy weights and they do it technically very well through full ranges of motion. Now think about how you train and look around in the gym. Most of the women, as I said, they are forcing the movement, they're rushing, they're going fast. The whole thing looks ugly. often you'll see that women aren't, I don't want to generalize because, you know, there's some women in my gym that lift heavy ass weights, but generally women aren't lifting heavy enough weight. So they're not working up near that failure. They're also not doing the right kind of volume. There's this whole camp that's anti-volume, which is really interesting. And that it can come from the metabolic space a bit. And I know there's some people out there that really shit on volume. And there are a lot of women that do a lot of empty volume training, especially in the cardiovascular space and the HIIT training space. But I did a lot of volume when I built my foundation. I did a lot of reps. You know, when you think about bodyweight strength training and then getting good at a lift, you have to do it a lot. You have to do a lot of reps. You have to practice a lot. And I am actually pro volume. I believe the more that we do, as long as we're nourished well, we're recovering well, we actually need to be training more. Just training the right way. And so I'm for volume, and I believe volume helps us learn how to train properly. Volume helps us own the movement. Volume helps us get better at the technique. It's just trying to, the dosage matters, and the amount of volume does matter depending on the state of a woman's energy and her nervous system. But, and I don't want to be negative about it, but somewhere along the way, the fitness industry, it went through a transformation. So the focus really shifted from like the joy of the movement. If I think to back into the history of women that have moved really well, so if I look at dance history or old school weightlifting, there was this joy to the movement. There was this beauty and grace that came with females and movement and lifting weights. So it shifted, and it shifted to this, there's an obsession with controlling body weight and shape. We became too caught up in ourselves, too self-obsessed. And we lost sight of the beauty of the process. And this is the big problem that I see. We're so obsessed with ourselves and changing our weight and our shape, whereas we need to be obsessed with the training. We need to be obsessed with the process. We need to be obsessed with learning to lift well. We need to be obsessed with progressing and lifting heavy weights. And there's a couple of people that really stand out to me when I think about this. So one is actually Arnold Schwarzenegger. When I was doing some reading and research the other day around some really good movers in history, he popped up, and I actually forgot that he hired a ballet coach to refine his movements. So if you look at old school bodybuilding, it's actually beautiful. It's very fluid. There is an element of grace and beauty. And now look at today's bodybuilding. There is no grace or no beauty. There's nothing natural about it. But look back into like the 70s, 80s, and 90s and old school bodybuilding in Arnold Schwarzenegger's day. And there was such this pursuit of gracefulness alongside strength. And that's why he was the best bodybuilder that's ever existed. Then think about female athletes dominating their sport with rockin' physiques. Like, these women have rockin' bodies. They are focused on getting better at their sport. They are focused on the skill acquisition. The way they look is a byproduct of the sport. But sports like gymnastics and dancing and even martial arts-based sports, if you watch them, there's this gracefulness and fluidity to their movement. And yes, they train a lot and they're athletes, but the byproduct, that's the byproduct. And so they're obsessed with their sport. They're obsessed with the skill acquisition of getting better at the particular skill that their sport, they haven't lost sight of the beauty of the process. They find the beauty in the process. And then as the byproduct, they look the way that they do. Coming back to the women that we admire in the gym, so the Kitties, the Libbies, the Hatties, they have undergone quite remarkable transformations. If you look into their story, and all of them were very under-muscled and have a very different body composition today than they did a decade or so ago. So the second part of the question was, well, what about genetics? Like, does it matter? Does your body look the way that it does because that's your body type? Like, that's your genetics? Or is it looking that way because of the type of training that I do, Kitty does, Libby does, Hattie does? So, and does genetics matter? Absolutely. Genetics do matter. They are a part of this conversation. So every woman has a unique genetic makeup, and that's going to influence her body type. So that's her bone structure, her muscle distribution, her body composition. And yes, it also it influences other things like hair and eye color and skin color. But if we're looking, focusing on the body, every woman will have a unique genetic makeup. Every woman will have a unique body composition. So first, I think about different sports. They demand different physiques. So if you look at an endurance athlete, so someone that runs a marathon or does ultra marathons, they tend to have quite slender builds. And so they tend to be very lean. They can be taller, so longer limbs, not always, but they're quite lean and slender, so they have very low muscle mass. Not all of the time, but most of the time. While power athletes, so think of weightlifters, power lifters, sprinters, they have a more muscular physique. They tend to be a little bit shorter, so their limb length is not as long, and they have this dense look. So for example, myself, I am 169 centimeters, and so I'm not very tall. So my physique, my body composition has this very compact, muscular density to it. Now, the gracefulness comes through the skill acquisition, or the way that I train, the way that I move. Whereas Kitty is taller than me. She's quite a bit taller than me. And Kitty actually has longer limbs. So she has this more, the body composition looks a little bit more lengthened and long and lean. Libby's also taller than me, I think. And I think Hattie might be a little bit shorter than me. So our height definitely can play into our distribution of muscle and how the overall body composition looks. And so that's why I'm very good at Olympic weightlifting, because I am shorter, and a lot of Olympic weightlifters are quite short, because it's really hard if you have very long limbs to do a sport like Olympic weightlifting. Then think of gymnasts and dancers. They possess quite similar body composition types to Olympic lifters. They're quite compact, they're flexible, and that really enables their body to perform all of these movements with precision and grace. Again, you don't see a lot of gymnasts or dancers. Dancers a little bit more, especially contemporary dancers can be a bit taller, but gymnasts are quite short and compact. And so we've got all of these different sports that tend to demand different physiques. And that's not saying that if we have a physique, you know, I could go and do some endurance sport if I wanted to, but some body types suit sports a lot better, and we become more efficient, and we can squeeze more out of that sport with a particular body type. And you'll notice that the athletes at the top of their game, the top of their field, the top of their sport, probably had the physique that the sport demands. And that's why they're at the top of their game. So genetics do play a role, but your training regime, so the way that you are training, can shape your body, can shape your physique. So through specific training, you can enhance specific physical attributes. So if you are quite lean and you want to increase your muscle mass, like I've worked with endurance athletes and marathon runners who have very lean, slender builds, but through strength training, lifting heavy, they have increased their muscle mass. They have what you might see as more density on their body. And so we can, through targeted training, we can enhance specific physical attributes. So strength training will build muscle and power, while endurance training will improve your cardiovascular fitness, your stamina, and can help reduce fat mass. If we look at some new work and studies on high intensity interval training or sprint interval training, in women who are in perimenopause and menopause, it's been shown to be really beneficial to help reduce abdominal fat mass. If we want to be more graceful in our movements, specific skill training can refine those movement patterns and enhance grace and fluidity. So we could do things like gymnastic strength training, or we could go to a dance class, and that type of training is going to improve your grace and fluidity. So think about when it comes to your training, and if you're not seeing the results that you want in your body composition, what are you after? What physical attributes are you after? Do you want to see through your training? And then through targeted training, for a lot of women I work with, they want to look leaner, toned, muscular, fit, healthy. And so we're going to, but they also want to move well. And this is what we really do inside of Warrior School. We focus on learning how to train properly. So learning how to lift weights properly, those big compound movements. We have a big focus on gymnastic strength training and bodyweight strength training so they can learn grace and fluidity. So the strength training is building their muscle mass and their power. Then we do some cardiovascular fitness, so for their heart health. But we play around with high intensity interval training and sprint interval training to help them change their body composition. So maybe they want to reduce some fat mass, especially around the midsection. So we can use specific types of training or different approaches to enhance specific physical attributes. And that's really the secret. The secret to achieving a body that you want is through a combination. And it's more about how you're training, so what type of training that you're doing, than genetics. Yes, genetics play a role. We can't change how high we are, how high we are, how tall we are. You know, we can't change some of our genetic features, but man, we can create a hell of a transformation with the body through training. And so if we aren't getting results, if we're training pretty consistently and we're putting in the work, but we're dissatisfied with how our body looks, there are multiple variables here. So it's a combination of genetic factors, training, the training that you're doing. Are you actually training properly? Are you lifting properly? Are you lifting heavy enough? You want a proper program. Your nutrition. So what's your nutrition like? Are you eating enough? What's the state of the body? The biofeedback, your biomarkers. You know, what's your stress like? How are you actually living? What are your hormones doing? So it also comes down to like individual determination and dedication that will determine it. But I believe in the end, it's not just about how we look. It's about how we move through the world. And I think the secret to achieving a body that you want, a body that irradiates beauty, grace, and power and strength, is by focusing, getting obsessed with the process, getting obsessed with learning to lift properly, we're getting obsessed with learning to lift heavy, you know, getting obsessed with learning to nourish yourself well enough and managing your stress. And as I said, I don't want to be negative about it. And if I sometimes I frame it up in a way that seems really, really daunting or overwhelming for a lot of women, but I don't know how to say it any other way. Like, I don't know how to phrase it, or basically I'm just telling you the truth that the women that you admire and that you're looking up to have spent years or decades. Now, it didn't take them that long. So as I said, my body composition changed within a 3-year period, but in that 3-year period, I trained a lot, like a lot. And I lifted heavy and I moved really well. And I was on point with my nutrition and my sleep and my stress. And so, and you've heard me talk about this before, your expectation versus your reality. What's your reality right now and what's your expectation? But if you look at the Kitties, the Libbies, and the Hatties, they have been training for years, if not decades. And while, yes, their big body composition transformations may have happened within a few years, what they can do in their training is hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of work. What I can do in my training is because of the last 14 years. And for me, it took about 3 years to change my body composition. And for most of the women that I talk to, women that come inside of Warrior School, I always say it'll take you about a year to build your foundation, and then it gets really fun after that. And it'll probably take you another couple of years to see really big body composition changes, big, long-lasting body composition changes. But that requires you to train consistently. That requires you to train really hard. Hard. I mean, women need to train hard. Most women need to train harder. Most women need to lift heavier weights. And so when Emma was looking around the gym, that's what she was seeing. This lack of, probably a lack of a program or structure, but really a lack of moving well, you know, owning the movement, but a lack of training hard. You've got building strength and building muscle is damn hard. It requires hard work. Again, I encourage you not just to look at a woman's body and think, oh, I love that, or I wish I could have her body. Watch what she does. Watch how she lives her life. But really watch how she trains. Watch how she trains. Watch the intensity. Go and watch Kitty lift. Go and watch Libby train and lift. Go and watch Hattie Boydell lift. Watch my training. Look at the intensity. Look at the weights. Look at the movement. Underneath all of this, and if you can take one thing away, it's that we are all obsessed with the process. We're obsessed with training. We love the practice. We love the movement. We love the goals. We all know how to lift really well. Technically, we can all lift a lot of weight. And that's really why our bodies look the way that they do. So our body aesthetics are really because of the way that we live our life and the training that we do. Okay. I gotta go and run. I gotta go do my sprints. Hopefully this was helpful, Emma. And if you have any more questions on this, just let me know. And we can talk more about it. If you wanna talk more about it, we can talk more about it.